bikers, enjoy a great ride for a great cause, the Sword Run. Saturday, May 12th at VA Park in Clarksburg. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouth-watering, slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. Proceeds go to Motorcycles for Missionaries and to help build a new church facility in the Clarksburg area. Register online or get details at swordrun.com. The Sword Run, brought to you by WDTV Channel 5, Hyde's Meatpacking, and your local chapter of the Azusa Street Riders.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WHAR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome. In just a few moments, you're going to enjoy the conclusion of our two-part series called Wait on the Lord. But first, enjoy this great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Let My Words Be Few, the name of this song is Come. Now is the time to worship.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow.
The time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before.
Be blessed as you enjoy part two of Wait on the Lord.
We simply must trust that one day judgment will come, and because of that, we live accordingly. One day, the wicked will finally be moved or be removed in judgment, and in the end, no one ever gets away with anything. The concepts of wheat compared to chaff are biblically linked to the concepts of salvation versus judgment, and they are also biblically linked. If you look at Psalm 1, They're biblically linked to the concept of either not being moved or being moved. The idea is this. If you're repentant and you have salvation, you're wheat and you're not going to be moved. If you are non-repentant, you are the chaff and you have judgment and you are going to be moved. But the point is you're going to be moved in the day of judgment. Listen to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now there is within Psalms a prophecy in Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. It's a prophecy that it's applied to the Messiah in the New Testament. If you look in Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 28. Here's Psalm 16, 8. The Apostle Peter quoted this verse and he applied it to the Lord Jesus. Psalm 16, 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is on my right hand. I shall not be moved. You need to make up your mind that you will not be shaken in service to the Lord. Listen. Listen to Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous is bold as a lion. When you have an urge to run away from something, if you're the wicked, go ahead and run. Ain't nobody chasing you, but go ahead and run. But if you're the righteous, don't run away. Just sit there and stand your ground and say, I'm just going to be bold as a lion because I'm not the wicked that flees when no one's chasing them. Amen. Praise God. Don't run away. Don't flee. Stand firm. Refuse to be moved. Now, this does not mean that God will defer to you on when judgment comes. It does not mean that God has to work on a timetable that's to our liking. Standing firm takes trust and patience. Not being moved takes a determination, and it may often require enduring suffering. The whole of Psalm 62 is appropriate here. I want to read it for you. Sometimes the Bibles will have a little summary at the top of a chapter or a psalm. Listen to the summary that's at the top of Psalm 62 in some Bibles. A calm resolve to wait for the salvation of God. Now, I can read it to you from the King James and the NIV, but I'd like to read it from the NIV and have you follow along in the King James. From the NIV, it says, for the director of music for Jeduthun, a psalm of David, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. In the King James, it says moved. How long? Then he changes gears and he begins to address others. And he says, how long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouth they bless, but in their hearts they curse. And then there is this musical term, Selah, and then it changes tone again. As a matter of fact, it goes back kind of a refrain, and it revisits wording that has already come, almost like you would repeat a chorus in a song. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Selah. Low-born men are but a breath. Now let me, before I read this part, I want to put in your minds an understanding. There was a kind of a superstition among the ancient Near East, particularly in Egypt. There was this idea that in the afterlife, you would be weighed. And only if your soul was pure would your afterlife self be free of weight. If your soul was not pure, you'd be said to be heavy, and then you couldn't pass on. And so they did this little rite at funerals where they would put a set of scales out and they would imaginarily put the person's soul on one side and put a feather on the other side kind of thing. But this scripture takes it in a different way. It describes people in general as not having any weight of sustenance. He says, "Low-born men are but a breath, and the high-born are but a lie. If weighed in the balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath." And here you see the scripture standing boldly against the superstition. And it says, "Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done." Amen. In one place, David said, "When I considered that the evil man seemed to get no judgment, and the poor victim seemed to get no justice," he said, "I almost slipped and fell. It almost made me stumble. It almost moved me." But he said, "Then I came into the house of the Lord." And he said, "Then the Lord started showing me some things, and it changed my perspective." I'm going to tell you something, folks. God has a long haul view on what he's taking us through. God's trying to get us ready for an eternity where we will be right in our spirit and right in our heart and able to be sent on missions and accomplish things. Can you imagine if angels from another dimension are sent on missions into this world? Who's to say that one day you won't be sent into a mission in some other cosmos? And God needs to know he can trust you. And so he's putting us through a course. He's putting us through a class. He's putting us through a time of maturing and development, and we've got to pass the test. If you don't pass the test, many old timers would say this, if he sends a test your way and you don't pass it, don't despair. You'll flunk out that time, but he'll send that test back around again, and you can pass it in the future. You got to have your mind made up. I refuse to get bitter. I refuse to get bitter. I refuse to let the damage that somebody did to me shake me loose out of where I'm supposed to be. I've got to stand firm. I got to keep living for God. I got to trust God. In the end, nobody gets away with anything. There's a judgment day coming. And until then, I will not point my gun at my brother. I will not point my gun at my sister. I will trust God and just keep serving him and know there's a final day of reckoning coming. Only the Lord knows if someone is corn of wheat or if they are chaff or if they tares. Don't you try to put yourself in a place of judge. You just serve God. Run in your lane. Do the work of God. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Here in just a minute, I'm going to ask my wife to come help us sing that song that Merle Ewing sang. You're going to make it. I'm preaching to you tonight. You're going to make it. Let me tell you the parable of the weeds. King James Version, I'm going to read it from the King James Version, Matthew 16, begin with verse 24. "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now, did I read you the dictionary definition of tares a minute ago? I did, didn't I? Injurious weed resembling wheat when young. Says, so the farmer, he sows good seed for his crop. And him and his servants go to bed. And an enemy came and sowed some seeds of this injurious wheat and went his way. King James says, but when the blade was sprung up. The New International Version says, when the wheat sprouted and formed heads. King James said, then appeared the tares also. The New International said, the weeds also appeared. Verse 27, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? They wanted to be the apostolic hitman. I got a gun, Lord. You want I should bump him off? Or in the case of Peter, I got a sword, Lord. You want I should take a whack at his head? I heard Brother Billy Cole say many times that when Peter swung that sword at Malchus, the servant of the high priest, he wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He meant to cleave his head in two like a melon. He missed. I love Jesus' response. Peter, put away your sword. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Move out of the way. I got to put this man's ear back on.
bikers enjoy a great ride for a great cause, the Sword Run. Saturday, May 12th at VA Park in Clarksburg. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouth-watering, slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. Proceeds go to Motorcycles for Missionaries and to help build a new church facility in the Clarksburg area. Register online or get details at swordrun.com. The Sword Run, brought to you by WDTV Channel 5, Hyde's Meatpacking, and your local chapter of the Azusa Street Riders.
What a Messiah. They're packing him up to haul him away to his wrongful execution on a cross, and he's saying, excuse me just a moment, can I work one more miracle? Can I repair one more breach? Can I heal one more wound? I know y'all fixing to put me to death, but can you give me a minute to put this man's ear back on? The servant said, you want us to go and get those tares? We'll go take care of them. But he said, nay. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Later in verse 36, he explained it to his disciples. He talked to the people in parables, but he would explain the parables to his disciples. Verse 36, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Amen. I've told our elders there's a very powerful, it's a little skinny book. It doesn't take a long time to read. It's very powerful. It's called A Tale of Three Kings. And this man writes in this book, he says, a young preacher can get the idea that he is a young David being persecuted by a Saul. But he says, you better be careful because you might be an Absalom rebelling against a David. It's very easy for me to get in my mind that I'm the David and not the Absalom. It's very easy for me to get in my mind that I'm the David and not the Saul. It's way too easy for me to get in my mind that I'm the corn and the other guy's the tare. Maybe they're corn, maybe they're tare, maybe they're not the one, maybe they're just chaff. But we're in this boat together. And I don't want to do any damage that the Lord isn't commanding me to do. Here we walk. I've heard the old timers say, Noah's worst, stinkiest day on the ark was better than being outside the boat. You ever stop to think, where did the manure from all those animals go? They were on that boat a long time. Somebody said, you know, the church would be wonderful if it weren't for these people problems. You know, the church is people. There's always going to be people problems. Another wise saying says, if you find a church that's perfect, don't join it. Because the minute you do, you'll mess it up. I want to preach to you tonight. God has something powerful for you to do. God has a path, just like he has a path for the moon to travel around us, just like he has a path for the earth to travel in its journey around the sun. God has a path for you to travel in. He has some people for you to win. He has some people for you to minister to. He has some people whose lives you're to touch. And if you get messed up in your spirit, you can get bumped out of your path, and there will be a great cost to it. I want to tell you, make up your mind. I shall not be moved. I'm going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We're going to bring forth fruit. Would you stand with me? This song is so wonderful. I can still in my mind, he's gone on to his reward. I can still hear Merle Ewing singing it. Amen. You're going to make it. Just a minute. Give me just a minute. Now, folks, I know hell would love nothing more than to stop this church. He's just got one little problem. The creator of the universe robed himself in flesh and said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at your neighbor, tell him you're going to make it. Now listen, the church, you hear me tonight. The church is going up and the world is going down. You just need to make up your mind whether you want to be in the church or in the world. Because the church is going up and the world is going down. The church is going to make it. The church is going to be all right. Listen to this. Brother Ralph just told me today marks 3 weeks since the Lord set him free from smoking. Is the devil attacking us? Oh, yes. But the Lord's still with us, and he's still touching people. Tonight, Brother Johnny called me. He said, the Lord touched me and took all of that pain from my hips and from my knees. He said, I've been praying for years for that. Is the devil attacking us? You better count on it. But God is still with his church. You saw in the bulletin this morning the testimony of Brother Alfredo. He went in for that brain surgery, major surgery. Within a day, he's already sitting up eating food. And he's telling the doctor information about the procedure that he could not know because he was unconscious. But he said, I wasn't unconscious. Lord took me out of my body and showed me the procedure. I saw a bright, shining man dressed differently than the others, showing the doctors what to do. Are we being attacked? You better believe it. And you better make up your mind. I'm not looking for a church where there's no attack. I'm just looking to live for God in the midst of the attack. But while the attack comes, the Lord is still blessing his church. Same day of that surgery, Friday, we went to a rally in Accident, Maryland. And in that rally, somebody received the Holy Ghost. Guess what? Somebody from our church, Sister Jocelyn, the Lord filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching to you in the name of Jesus. Make up your mind. I am determined to hold out to the end. I am determined to live for God. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to trust in the Lord, and we're going to wait on God. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I'm going to tell you, there's a powerful word in Isaiah chapter 61. This is what it's a prophecy of Jesus. But if we look at it, we can see ourselves in that prophecy. Jesus, when he went into the synagogue for to read, it gave him the scroll of Isaiah. He rolled the scroll out and he found this passage. And that was before they had chapter markings and verse numbers. He was so familiar with the Hebrew written on that scroll, he could find that prophetic verse on that scroll with no chapter numbers and no verse numbers. And he read this in their hearing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Anybody going through any mourning here? Amen. Anybody buried somebody you love? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning. Watch this. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, I'm preaching to you folks. I know what depression's like. I've lived through it. I suffered a depression several years ago. Suffered a depression many years ago after the death of my father, the suicide of my father. And I know what it looks like. I'm being very transparent with you. In these months after the passing of my mother, and a litany of difficulties and challenges, I'm in the midst of a depression. Say, no, Pastor Joseph, we saw you running the aisles tonight. We saw you dancing. You're right. I didn't dance because I felt wonderful. I'm not depressed. I danced because that's my way of saying, Lord, take the spirit of heaviness and give me instead a garment of praise. You hear me? Prayer is powerful. But if you face a depression with only prayer, you're tying one of your arms behind your back. There's another thing you can fight with, and that is your praise. You better make up your mind. I'm going to be a praiser. I'm going to be a praise maniac. Because we're dancing for our life. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing this song again. And as I do, I want you to find somebody to lay your hand and pray for them in Jesus' name. Let's pray for one another. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of the Lord knitting us together in love tonight. I feel the Spirit of the Lord touching us and helping us to achieve a unity of the Spirit and a unity of our hearts tonight. Now, I want to say one last thing. And that is, I want to point out to you that when you read in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote about the armor of God that we're to take upon us. He described that armor in detail. Get a picture of a Roman soldier in your mind as he describes that armor. He describes the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the breastplate of righteousness, and everything he describes, feet shod, loins girt about. When you read that description of armor, there's one thing that there's nothing described as having any armor, and that's the back. Preachers have preached it. Just tonight, someone came to me and spoke a word from the Lord. They said, I feel like the Lord has shown me that if we as believers, if we face each other, then we leave our back exposed. And if we throw darts while we're facing each other, we're throwing our darts at each other, friendly fire. And if we throw darts at each other, friendly fire, and the pastor and his family are in the middle, then they're getting hit by the darts. But if we'll realize, I got to have my brother's back, and we'll turn our backs so that we form a circle with our backs protected inside the circle, and we turn our armor and our weapons outward toward the enemy, then we protect the pastor and his family, and we protect each other's back. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, it has a lot to do with your direction. It has a lot to do with which way you're pointed. Amen. We heard a powerful message preached to us. This guy's name was Updegrave. He preached a powerful message. But he talked about the fact that Jesus said to take up your cross and follow me. He said there's some people, they try to take up the cross, but they leave off the "and follow me" part. But he said, if you're carrying the weight of that cross, but you're not following Jesus, he said, all you've got is weight and burden, but you've got no relationship. But he said, if you'll change your direction and start following Jesus, then you'll find, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you'll find that carrying that cross doesn't have any weight to it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you have been suffering with a heavy heart, I have lived through it. I lived through it and got through it, and the Lord brought me through and delivered me because I put on a garment of praise to let the Lord take off the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Folks, if you find yourself in a fight for your life and this is how you've always lived for God, you're in for a nightmare. When rough time comes, you need to have already made it a habit that I'm a worshiper. When the battle comes, you need to have already in your life a pattern that I'm a praiser. Amen. Because if you're chained down when there's no battle going on, what are you going to be when there is a battle? You need to make up your mind. I am going to praise God. Wear a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Help us, Lord, by your power to be planted, Lord, like trees planted by the rivers of water. Help us, Lord, that we should not be moved. Help us, Lord, that we will not be shaken loose, that we will not be shaken loose from the calling that you have put upon our life and the path that we are to trot. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WHAR-FM.
Bikers, enjoy a great ride for a great cause, the Sword Run, Saturday, May 12th at VA Park in Clarksburg. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouthwatering slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. Proceeds go to Motorcycles for Missionaries and to help build a new church facility in the Clarksburg area. Register online or get details at swordrun.com. The Sword Run, brought to you by WDTV Channel 5, Hyde's Meatpacking, and your local chapter of the Azusa Street Riders.